So call it a triumph of decoding or a belated attack of humility on the part of molecular biologists and geneticists, but there's been a breakthrough in the understanding of the human genome. It's the result of a spectacular example of federally led cooperation among government and university laboratories to find the meaning in pieces of DNA that have long been considered junk information. That's right, junk that did not actually contribute to the building of an organism.
Huh?
Did I lose you there? Well, let me just get... Here we go. There it is. A human genome. Kind of macro scale here. Look at that beauty. And we'll just move along the genome here. And what is it that we find?
Skin color. Nose size. Left-handed. Talent for math.
Well, there you go. Human traits built from genes.
Good singing voice. Large lungs. Small brain.
Uh-oh, whose genome is this? I guess that's confidential. Can't be mine, though.
Eye color. Back hair. 20/10 vision. Great teeth.
Little explicit blobs of DNA meaning in a long chain, but interrupted by all of this stuff. This is what the scientists have called for decades junk DNA. Whoa. Scientists just dismissing out of hand huge sequences of DNA because the scientists could see no clearly understood pattern. But in this latest research, the scientists found a way to read this so-called junk a different way, sort of like playing the gibberish backwards. And suddenly...
Trigger for asthma. Trigger for lipometabolism. Trigger for pancreas function. Trigger for paranoid reaction to seeing pictures of clowns.
Suddenly, a whole range of incomprehensible junk is found to be a set of switches that in a complicated and only now revealed manner may control a huge number of traits that are activated outside of genes. A whole set of mysteries suddenly open to study.
Trigger for lung cancer. Switch for libido. Paul McCartney is dead.
And some mysteries perhaps resolved immediately. Thanks to our production team here at The Takeaway. Dr. Bradley Bernstein joins us. He's one of the scientists who worked on the so-called ENCODE project, or the Encyclopedia of DNA Elements. He's an associate professor at Harvard Medical School and the Broad Institute in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He joins us from our partner station, WGBH, in Boston. Dr. Bernstein, welcome to the program.
Hi, John. Thank you.
So what did you make of our low-rent radio lab metaphor there for what you've managed to accomplish? Did we get it about right? Please elaborate.
That was great. Maybe I could take a moment to put this all in perspective.
Please.
So, you know, when the human genome was first sequenced 10 years ago, there was enormous excitement and you know, this genome sequence has impacted everything we do in biology. It's impacted medicine and it's spawned new industries in biotechnology. But it didn't really help us fully understand the genome, as you've sort of just pointed out. One of the issues, if you can think of the genome, it was like a really thick Russian novel. We don't speak Russian, though, and there's no spaces between the words. So all you have is this string of letters that are 3 billion letters and very hard to understand. Cryptographers could find those traits you mentioned, like the genes that code for eye color. So you could kind of find those just by looking at the sequence,
mm-hmm.
About 20,000 genes. But there were some problems. Couple problems, and the first is that, you know, those 20,000 genes actually accounted for only a few percent of the whole genome, so it left 95% of the genome completely uncharted and unexplained. And another problem is that those genes didn't really explain, changes in those genes didn't explain those diseases, the complex diseases like diabetes and other problems like that. So, you know, in that sense, the genome sequence was just a beginning of a new era to try to understand and interpret the genome and how it's functioning in a human.
I mean, certainly, you know, the notion of eye color, while, you know, it's profound to think that there's some molecule that has on it some code that, you know, produces blue eyes or brown eyes, that is such a tiny, tiny small fraction of what constitutes human experience. What's the difference between a trait like eye color and these triggers, which is what you're finding in this so-called noise?
Right. There are some simple traits that are encoded by a gene or a couple of genes. And then it turns out that most diseases are actually much more complicated than that, and they're encoded by many different things in our genome. And so here's the ENCODE project has come in and brought new technologies. Couldn't have done this without the human genome sequence, but having the human genome sequence enabled us to apply these new technologies and now survey all that junk DNA you mentioned, or the dark matter, to find the working bits, those little bits in the those little treasures that actually are important and are functional. And the consortium has identified on the order of a million little switches, little bits of DNA that are switching on and off and controlling how the genes, those traits work, and controlling how the genome works. And they underlie really fundamental principles like why a liver cell is so different from a neuron, right? The liver cell and the neuron, they both have the same genomes. Yet those switches are controlled differently in the different cell types, and this helps underlie why the human body can compose of such complex different cell types.
So before we go, explain why this helps us to understand why identical twins could have completely different trajectories in terms of disease, and give us a sense of the scale of this whole ENCODE project. How many laboratories were involved before we go?
Well, first, the twin question is one of the great questions in biology right now, and we know that genetics can explain a lot of, you know, the predisposition to disease, yet there are many cases where one twin has schizophrenia, yet their identical twin is perfectly healthy. So there's this understanding that environment and other controls can influence and build upon genetics. So now that we know these switches, it can provide an opportunity for us to look at how those switches might be controlled separately from the genetics, and maybe add on to the genetics and learn about how environmental exposures in a lifetime can affect disease susceptibility.
So the Broad Institute is just one of hundreds of labs involved here, and this is going to continue?
Yeah, this was an amazing project. I mean, most of the science that's done today is done in individual labs, a lot of brilliant work. But the ENCODE project was quite unique in that it was really a community of researchers working together towards a common goal, and they couldn't have achieved this on their own.
Congratulations, Dr. Bradley Bernstein, Associate Professor at Harvard Medical School and at the Broad Institute in Cambridge, talking about a radical new discovery in decoding noise DNA in the human genome. Thanks, Doctor.
Thank you.